let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
All right, good morning. We're glad you're here. Got any guests here this morning, first-time visitors? Some back here, over here, over here. Any over here? Good. Over here? Good. How you look like a first-time visitor. How'd you get out of Georgia? It's so good to see you. All right, we're glad you're here. It has been hotter. Last week, it was 106 a couple of days. And it's just 105 today, so we're good. See, one of the folks here needs a truck for work. If anybody's got one for sale, please contact Ann over here. She'll tell you the limitations of the money and all that stuff. I guess you know that, don't you? So if you have some kind of truck somebody needs to go to work in, she knows everything. Yeah, she's mentioned that. Laura and Tracy Holmes, grandchild due in January. It's going to be a little girl.
Yay!
That's good. Now, somebody wanted 100 CDs for 7-8. I guess that's the date it was, July 8th. And Donnie has them. Donnie's got, where are you, Donnie? You going? Okay, Donnie's got them. Whoever you are that wanted them. On a table up there. So please get them, and thank you for passing them out. What a wonderful thing to know. Farrell, West Virginia's rated 3 in the nation. I hope they do better. Somebody told me, said Merle's Inlet, there's been a bar down there for 24 years. Guys run it. Called a Dead Dog Saloon, and he sold it to Michael Vick last week. Isn't that awful? All right, we're glad you're here. If you got a fan, if you don't want one, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Anybody need one? Now, if everybody fan in the same direction, we can get a breeze going here. All right, well, thank you for coming. We'll pray and expound the scriptures. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you as you said to, allowing us to approach the throne of grace. And what a wonderful thing that is, that as you did for blind Bartimaeus, you will stop and hear us with our prayers and supplications. I never have gotten over that. We just ask you to be with us this morning. We thank you for those who are here and those who are home that couldn't come, and those who are listening by way of radio, those who will hear the message by CD and the World Wide Web. We thank you for that, that we actually can go into all the world from where we stand. What a remarkable thing. As ever, please remove me from this place, that you be heard, that anything I say, please have it remembered if it should be, but take it away if it shouldn't. Thank you for those who come out. Some are lost, some are found. We would pray that all would be found before we leave. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Ran into an old friend yesterday we ran in a little restaurant, and there he sat with his wife and telling me about the church they went to down south of here. And he said, "Well, where are y'all now?" And I said, "Well, we're at the same place. We're at the end of the road, Main Street." Got to thinking about that. So we're on the last road in the last building in the United States of America. We're at the end of the road. And got to thinking about that you better think about the roads you travel, and you better think about the choices you make. Because a lot of people have chosen this road to come to Ocean Drive. They were divorced, or business had gone south, and other things had happened. And for some reason, they think if they come down here, everything will be all right. It's probably the worst place to come in that condition that you could possibly come. But for many, this is the last stop. And before the ocean, that is the last one. And I get calls periodically, if someone said, "I'm about to commit suicide, give me a reason not to. We're being evicted in the morning, I need some help." You know, all these things come in, and there are a great deal of problems come here, and they come down this road. It comes through here. Now they're making a cut through to 31, and then that goes unto all the world, and we'll have millions of people come down that road. We hope a lot choose to come here, because it may be the last best choice they make. It's sad sometimes to consider the choices. If you'll turn to Matthew 7:14, and the Lord himself in his words is saying in verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate," meaning the difficult gate, "for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." In old biblical days, the roads were called a way. I'm sure you're familiar with the history from the fifth grade about the Appian Way in Rome and other roads called the way. And we know that you have two choices, two roads you can take. I get accused of being a reductionist, going to the bottom line and missing the middle stuff. And I do that because I know that everything comes down to one or two choices real quick. You learned that playing football. Rex back there used to be a linebacker for the University of Colorado. And you don't have much time to think in situations like that. You got to go one way real quick. You better be right. And it comes down to situations in your life that you have to make a decision. And you forget that computer in your head, how fast and how well it's put together. Or you make a snap decision, answer a question in a hurry, make a life changing decision in a hurry, and what had to be filtered through your mind was everything you knew about that situation, how it would affect your family, how it would affect your business, how it would affect your relationships with other people. I mean, there are a thousand things that have to be considered, and you didn't know how smart you were, because they have to go through in a hurry and you have to make a decision in that quick period of time. Murph is with us this morning. They almost got killed on the way to Florida. Lady crossed the line and came toward them head on, but Dan made a quick decision. Run off the road. Don't hit the brakes. He'd have hit the brakes. He was pulling a boat. It'd have hit the grass. It would have slid. It would have thrown it. It'd have turned over, and it'd probably be dead. But just because of his quickness, saying, "Let it stop itself." Just that one split decision that God let him make. They're sitting here this morning. And things happen like that throughout our life. So you have to understand here, the Lord's talking about being very careful with your choices in life, which road you take. Here he's talking about a wide gate and a narrow gate. I hear the preachers from time to time say, "Well, it's nothing more, don't worry about who your Bible teacher is or what denomination you are, just as long as you try to be good and act right We're all God's children. No, you aren't. No, you aren't. You're God's creatures. To them who believe, he gave the power to become sons of God. You see, it's a very narrow gate to find and go through. I was watching this week the God's Warriors. Maybe some of you saw that. And one night they showed the Muslims, Islam's faith, and then they showed Christianity. And last night they showed the Jewish end of things. And all three, of course, think they have the answer. I was reading some bishop from somewhere, bless his heart. He has started one world religion. And it was bad enough when they wanted one denominational, the National Council of Churches, with the ecumenical movement. Just take anybody, no matter what they believed or disbelieved, and you don't do that. They don't stand on the Word of God and believe that God meant what he said and said what he meant. I don't want any fellowship with you. And now they've gone beyond that. They're going to have a one world religion. We know that because the Lord's coming soon. And it's building up to the one world religion. The one world government is coming. And anybody who can't tell a world war is on the way isn't paying attention. So Jesus in his word said, be sure to enter in at the straight gate, the hard gate. It's difficult sometimes to choose the narrow way. The broad way is so easy. Because now the broad way has become the most popular way. It used to be that people who did certain things and went to certain places did it kind of on the sly and on the quiet and didn't let you know. And now it's the other way around. If you don't do what they do, you're ridiculed. Your little girls who are going to school this year and they're in high school will be chided and ridiculed if they're a virgin. Used to be the other way around. Used to be you knew everybody in high school who got drunk on the weekends. There wasn't but three or four of them. You knew who they were. We even knew who smoked. If your coach Moore caught you, you'd still be running laps. In the 50s, the serious thing in our school was running in the hall, chewing gum, talking out loud, skipping school. Now it's murder, rape, selling drugs, and killing teachers. New Jersey is in a precarious position with the education department because teachers won't go there. They've tried raising the salaries and doing everything else they can and giving bonuses, and they can't get teachers because it's so dangerous at school. That ought to be the safe place, school. And now it isn't. And if you are going to stand up against things like that and speak out against things like that, you're going to find yourself in the narrow way. You're going to be talked about as a religious fanatic. I notice it's football season and they're back out with the fur coats and the pennants and the big number ones, the foam, and the barbecues out. Some people paying, I know for a fact, University of South Carolina for a parking condominium place is $20,000. You get two painted lines for that. Have a parking place, go to football game. World's turned upside down and gone entirely crazy. You see, if we try to do anything out of line or have a Christmas parade or do anything like that, here come those religious fanatics. Thank you for recognizing us for who we are. For standing with Jesus Christ or dying with the devil makes you be called a fanatic. I choose to be called a fanatic. So Jesus says to be careful. There are two gates. One is wide and one is very narrow. And make sure you're headed down the right road to the narrow gate. All roads don't lead to Rome. All church roads and religions don't lead to heaven. the narrow way and the wide way, and it never was put together for the whole world to be saved. They could have the opportunity if they wanted to, but God knew they wouldn't choose it. 50% of the first two didn't. And we find today that it's okay, you can't tell the Christian from the non-Christian anymore by the way they act. They have to have some proof about them. I remember back in the 50s, the preacher preached a sermon. He said, if you got arrested for being a Christian today, would there be enough evidence to convict you? It's not a very nice question, is it? So Jesus said, be careful of the road you choose and the gate it leads to. And there are two ways here, the easy way and the hard way. And the easy way is easy to follow. I remember my dad used to get on me for doing things and get me straightened out and going to do what I was supposed to do. He'd say, son, a dead fish can swim downstream. Anybody can just flow with the tide. Just go with the flow. Isn't that one of the things we say in our society? Well, just go with the flow. Yeah, you go with the flow and they'll drown you. It's those who fight against the flow, who get somewhere and get things done, and those who set out to do something for the Lord and get persecuted. And my friend yesterday was telling me about a little church he goes to. He said the preacher hadn't been paid in 2 weeks. I said, how many people you got? And he said, 50. I said, tell him to schedule me down there one Wednesday night. Now, I'll get that straightened out in a minute. Else you'll start over. I can't imagine that, man of God, trying to spread the word of God and get people saved. And 50 people can't come up with enough money to pay him a salary. So I'll end that for them. They'll flinch every time they see a red-headed person. You see, this is an easy way to follow the crowd. And Earl Nightingale, a friend of mine, used to be on the radio like Paul Harvey, did that kind of motivational work. Very famous man, and he would concur with that. You see, anybody can take the easy route. But to be successful is hard. There's no such thing as an easy way to great things. No such thing. Proof of it is in the lottery. These people win these vast amounts of money, and that's good for them, you would think. But have you ever checked the history of those people after they got that money? Came easy, left easy. They don't have anything left. Some of them totally broke. I mean, they won millions of dollars. They totally broke. Didn't know how to handle it. Sometimes God doesn't give us a lot of money because we don't know how to handle it. Can you be trusted with a lot of money? How did you do with a little bit? I remember Charles Spurgeon in England teaching people to, he was a Baptist, so he was teaching tithing, and a fellow met him on the street and said, Dr. Spurgeon, said, I'm going to have to tell you some rather sad news. He said, what is it? He said, well, I've been tithing my income with the church there for you for 10 years, but my business has really taken off, and I'm making 10 times that which I was just a few years ago, and things are getting so big, said, I can't afford to tithe now. And Charlie said, well, okay, let's pray about that. Right here, right now, get on your knees. Got him on the knees, Main Street. Said, dear Lord, my brother here is having a problem. You've blessed him so that he finds himself unable to help the work of the church go on. I'd ask you today to take his business back where he started so he can afford to support the church one more time. Be careful what you ask for, huh? I just can't imagine that. It's hard to get up Sunday morning, as some of you do, to be here at 9 o'clock. I know that. That's difficult. it's much easier to go where service starts at 11 and you get 2 or 3 hours extra sleep. I know that. It's hard to sit in a place where there's no air conditioning and all of that. It's much easier to sit with the plush pews and the air conditioning button being turned to 72 or 68, whichever you prefer. That's easier. It's easier not to have an old funeral fan in your hand and sweat coming off your brow. It's much easier. But be careful what you get in the coolness and the comfort. It may not be what you want. We find it wonderful that people come in here, and people will bring me a check every now and then, and I know they can't afford it. I've told more than one here during their times of hardness, take this back. We can make it without this week. When you get back on your feet, you start giving again. And they look at me like I'm crazy. Nobody ever told them to take money back before. It's easier just to do nothing, isn't it? It's easier not to take the hard way, and some of you businessmen have some dishonest people who are in competition with you, and you have to fight that because you persist in being honest. Boy, it's hard sometimes, isn't it? Some of you who go some places around here find some lonely ladies who it would be very easy to take home, and you don't do that. And to a man, that's a great temptation. But you say, no, I just don't do that. Boy, you'll see some wide eyes on that one. I've seen a few myself. There's two ends talked about here. One leads to heaven, and the other leads to destruction. You have to be careful with the road you take, because it may be the road to destruction, and you don't know that. It looks like the better road and the more pleasant road and the easier road to travel, and some of your friends are there, and they seem to be doing all right, but they don't understand that road leads to destruction. You find people you invite to church and they say, well, I just haven't got time. They receive the same amount of time you did today. They just chose to use it differently. And whether you come here or somewhere else, if you ain't got time to spend an hour with God out of your week, you're too busy. You're going to have a heart attack or die of stress one. If you do nothing more but come into a church of any kind, and sit quietly and pray silently and sing a couple of songs or listen to them sung and get up and leave, I promise you it will do you better than anything else you could have done that Sunday morning. I've never been to a church, regardless of how good or how enabled or unable the preacher was, that I didn't get something. I don't know who tells them I'm coming, but when I get there, it seems they always say something about me. I've had people in here come up and say, well, you didn't have to get personal. And there's 27 of them who came up that day. I didn't get that personal, did I, with 27 people? You see, Jesus was the kind of person who looked at you and went to the bottom line. He said, you are either with me or against me. You're either gathering or you are scattering. You can either be hot or you can be cold, and I'll spit you out of my mouth. Get on the right road or stay on your road, is what he's saying. The road choices were hard for people here, the travelers who went in that day, because you got on the wrong road, you'd get lost. If you got lost, you got killed, robbed, died in the sun because you didn't have enough water with you or didn't know your way and could find no help or food, and began to think of the roads people took and didn't have to. Samson comes to mind, a mighty man of God, came from a godly family. Samson was a woman chaser. He was a playboy, as we say in our day. Strongest man on earth, long hair, looking good. All the ladies liked him, and apparently he never met one he didn't like. He ran into Delilah. It was the wrong one. While he had spent the evening with her and had his head in her lap sleeping, she called the barber, had his hair removed, and that was his strength. Instead of choosing the road that his family had chosen and taught him to do, the strongest, best-looking man on earth ended up pulling a grind wheel like a donkey with his eyes blinded out. No more the hero. No more the playboy. He was an ox grinding grain in the darkness. Fortunately, at the last fork of the road, he took the right way. With days to go, traveling the wrong road, and you see where it got him, he called on the Lord and said, "I want to repent. Let me back on the right road, please, and just give me my strength back for one day." You know the story, and he did. Went to the temple and pushed it down. It took his life and the lives of hundreds of others. Didn't have to be. He could have been on the right road since childhood. Moses, you all know his story, what a great man of scripture he is. And put him in an ark. By the way, there are three arks in the Bible if you want to sound real smart. Okay, Moses was put in an ark, a little bitty basket with a top on it. There was the Ark of the Covenant in the temple, and there was Noah's Ark. Most people, you ask how many arks in the Bible, they'll say one. Jonah's. And Moses, little bitty baby, his mama made the right choice. We don't hear much of her, do we? She was under orders. She had a baby boy. He was to be killed. And she said, "Not my baby." She put him in the ark and put him in the bulrushes in the water. Little girl went down during the daytime and watched the ark. Take him out at night and take him home. Then one day he was found by the king's daughter. God gave her a choice. Do what your daddy said and kill this baby or have him kill. Or take him and make him yours. She made the right choice. Moses received all the education of Egypt. Brilliant education. That's PhD today. All the luxuries of living in the palace. All his needs met, everything met for life. But he got sick of what he saw and said, "I have to choose another road, and I choose to suffer with the children of God rather than spend the rest of my life in a palace." And he was put on the backside of the desert as a shepherd for 40 years. 40 years. Wonder how many times in that 40 years in the hot summer heat like we have, taking care of a bunch of stinking sheep, eating off the land, wearing shepherd's clothes, the money's gone, the palace dinner's gone, the education useless, strung out on the desert. I wonder how many times in 40 years he wondered, "I wonder if I did the right thing." Surely he did it the first few years and then said, "Well, maybe God's got something we're waiting on." But after 10, 15, 20, and 25, and 30, I'm sure he said, "No, I made a mistake. I chose God's way, and I don't have much to show for it. He didn't know 40 years to God is an instant. But he stayed on the right road. And God came and gave him one more chance to choose to do it his way. You know the rest of the story. Did he choose the right road early? Yeah. You say, well, I've tried Christianity and it didn't work for me. No, you didn't wait long enough. Well, I see on TV people become Christians, get a new house and a new car and a new wife and a new dog and change the channel. God doesn't work that way. But if you choose the right road and decide to go with him, he will straighten out the curvy roads, he said. He'll make the hills flat and he'll remove the obstacles. And you say, well, I know missionaries who didn't ever get anything but death for going to the jungle. No, the missionaries got heaven for going to the jungle. You just don't know how God keeps his accounting records. Well, I just can't see. I know of a man in Greenville, South Carolina, Bobby McGinnis, and I played football with him, with his son, with his brother. His son got converted and wanted to serve the Lord and was called to be a missionary. And he told his mom and dad, said, I've been called to be a missionary and I'm going to the foreign fields and do what God has asked me to do. And he said, no, you're not. He said, if you want to be a preacher, I'll build you a church. And he's got millions of dollars, and he built a big church in Greenville. And that boy lives right now with a big church and a nice home and a sad heart because he didn't do what God asked him to do. You see, God saved you for a reason, and that reason may not have come around yet. He possibly saved you to save one more person, and that's your duty to him for life. Well, that's not much. He wanted you to see how much it was. And you get home this afternoon and get your iced tea and the fan going and the air conditioner and laid up on the couch, take a minute or two and think what you do when you are the instrument for bringing one person from hell to heaven. And think of the magnitude of what you did. Soul winning and bringing people to Christ is been made the preacher's job, and after all, we got you a couple to work with you, and there's only 50,000 people in our county. Can't y'all handle it all? No. There's somebody in this world that you touch, maybe on a daily basis, maybe on a weekly, maybe on a yearly, who is watching you because they know you've become a Christian. You're the only Bible they will ever read. You are the only example of Jesus Christ that they will ever see. And if you stay in the right road and they see you do that, one day will be the time for you to ask them, or they're going to ask you, what makes you different than me? And then you can tell them. We have carried away with things you are and I am and everybody else is. We're a materialistic society, but we have forgotten to keep the main thing, the main thing. That's the main thing. Now look around at my age, which is 70 now, and say, surely I can't be 70. I ran through this pavilion in 1955, 56. Wasn't that just a few years ago? No, you're 70, and I read the paper, and I quit reading the obituary column because the ages were getting too close to mine. And I get the messages on the telephone and the email, so-and-so passed away, Beaver. So-and-so passed away, used to play ball with us. And I say, it can't be. We're too young to be passing away. Can't be doing that. And time flies so fast, I was shocked the other day when they came on and said Princess Diana died 10 years ago. I said, surely not. Wasn't it 3? And how fast time goes and how little time you have to get on the right road. You see, some of you are that person I talked about when we first started who came down here because you were divorced or the business went bad or some other reason, and you came to start life over down here, and this was your last road out here. This was your last chance. Can't go back home. Can't go back the way it was. This is it. And that was your last road that you came down, and some of you stopped right here before the road ended out there and found Christ in this building. Started over on the right road. And I know some of you don't know others. I don't keep score and I don't keep a ledger book. That's God's business. I'm just the messenger. But every now and then we'll preach and sing our song at the end, and a grown man will come up with tears in his eyes. His hand shaking when he shakes mine. And he'll stutter out, thank you. I know what he means. He wasn't thanking me because I had a good sermon or because I was tall and overweight. He was saying thank you because the day he got back on the right road or on it for the first time. That's what makes being here worthwhile. The lady who comes and says, my husband's divorcing me and I just want you to pray for me. And we do. Those who call in say the same thing, and I've had them call one night, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. The man said, I got a 38 in one hand and a 45 in the other. Tell me why I shouldn't blow my head off. You better be on the right road to answer those questions. We get on the right road down here, and everybody, every friend you got, tries to get you on the wrong road. Been there, done that. Look at you like you're funny, call you strange names, quit inviting you to the parties because you committed the unpardonable sin of the sinner. You became a Christian and you aren't welcome there anymore. I was laughing, my preacher friend at lunch yesterday, talking to him. He said, well, I just got ordained. And I said, well, that's wonderful. Congratulations. Now you can join the silent club. He said, what's the silent club? I said, nobody's going to talk to you. And why? I said, people don't talk to preachers. Oh, they throw up the hand and say, hey, and you know. But nobody talks to preachers. Preachers ask the wrong questions. And they think you're going to read scripture to them all day and want to pray with them all day. They don't think you're just regular. That's their conscience. I'd rather be in the presence of my daddy than any man I ever met. Because he was going to tell me about the scripture. And he was going to pray for me. I'd rather be at a dinner table with Dr. Ian Paisley from Ulster. Has to carry a bodyguard with him everywhere he goes to keep from being shot. Dr. Bob Jones, before he passed on, went to be with the Lord. To sit at a dinner table with giants of the faith like that, no off-color jokes and no prodding you to do something wrong. Just their very demeanor. I remember the last time I saw Dr. Jones, the chancellor of Bob Jones University, and Ian Paisley had brought a tent to Greenville, and they were holding a little tent meeting. And I said, well, I'm not going to miss this. That's two of the greatest men of God that ever lived. And when it was through, I went up to Dr. Jones and said, Dr. Jones, you won't remember me. And he looked and said, I know very well who you are. And I had a picture of my daddy in front of my Bible and said, Dr. Jones, why do people like you and my daddy and Ian Paisley have eyes like that, that look through your soul? And I never will forget him. He said, only to the guilty. That's why people don't like to get around to preaching. Guilty. And we choose roads to go down, and we want to make sure we have the right road. And I want you to know, in an era of postmodernism, where preachers are in the pulpit who don't believe the Word of God, never accepted Christ as their Savior, won't have a universal religion, won't have a one-world church, want to be all inclusive of anybody who will wash their face and come to some kind of church on Sunday. I want you to know there's one way still, and just one road today. And it's the road that leads to the cross on which Jesus died. Scriptures are explicit. Simon Peter answered the Lord and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And what is he saying? There's only one way. There's only one man had the truth. There's only one message that Jesus saves. There's only one way of salvation, by grace through faith. Plus nothing, minus nothing. I don't know why people make it so difficult if you can read it all. John 8:24, I said, therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. That's a claim of deity. Did you know we're the only religion in the world that offers salvation? Did you know we're the only religion in the world that has a Savior? Then you know we're the only ones who have someone who paid the price for your sin and mine so we could live with them forever. Do you know we're the only ones whose founder was crucified for us and said, don't worry about it, I'll come back and get you, just stay on the road. Did you know that the road you have chosen, most people here over 50, some 60 and 70 like me, others 80. And we don't like to admit it, but we're on the last road. I don't dwell on the subject and sit around and think about death, but when you're 70 years old, you know you're more likely to be buried than married again. Ann keeps wanting to send me to the doctor. I said, no, that's where the sick people are, honey. She gets mad. Because I'm like you, ain't nothing wrong with me. And then you go and they say, you need to come back Tuesday. You need to bring your family with you. And we hear these things when you're my age. I hadn't heard any, by the way. I don't go to doctor. But I was so glad after being brought up to be on the right road and making a few left turns and U-turns and circles and going to the edge of doing what was wrong, that Jesus said, I'm not through with you, boy. You thought I was going to let you be a preacher when you got out of college, didn't you? You weren't ready. You thought surely after you went to seminary that I'd find you a place to preach, didn't you? You weren't ready. And I'd watch other people who I know more than they do. I know I'm smarter than they are. I know I can hold the attention of a crowd of people in a way that they never will. And they're calling me, telling me I got a new church and this, that, and the other. You begin to do like Moses and say, man, am I ever going to get to do anything? And then God said, look, I got a bunch of heathens at North Myrtle Beach. Amen. That somebody out the ordinary needs to go talk to. And that would be you. I laughed and said, whatever you want to, Lord. And he said, I'm going to give you some drunks. Go game. So I'm going to give you some fornicators. And I said, all right. I said, I'm going to give you some adulterers. I said, fine. I'm going to give you some dope heads. That'd be good. I'm going to give you some dope dealers. I said, all right. You're going to give me First Baptist, aren't you? He said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not giving you First Baptist. I'm going to give you the pavilion. I said, only God could do that. Boy, I'm glad I came. And boy, I'm glad you did. Oh, boy. All right. Now, if you're here today and don't have a Savior and you're on the wrong road, it's not too late. I can promise you it's not too late. So today, don't go on pass on this little road and make your next stop the ocean where you die. Make your last stop this one. And today, whoever you are and whatever you've done, and no matter with whom or by whom, we have a Savior that'll forgive all that. Wipe the slate clean. And take you in. So as we sing and pray, if you don't know him as Savior and know the fact that Jesus died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood for the sins of mankind, and that included you, was buried and arose the third day and is coming again and is going to straighten out the crooked places and make all the hills flat, and everything's going to be all right. If you don't know that, you accept him today where you are. With a simple prayer, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe you're the Son of God. And I accept you as my Lord. I promise he'll do his part. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you allowed us to come here. Thank you for the people who allow us to use their business as a place of worship. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for those who come in the heat and sit in an uncomfortable way and listen for a longer time than they would in other places, but they come anyway because something inside says this is the Word of God. There has to be someone here who knows you not as Savior or is taking the wrong road, needs to get back on the right one. And I'd ask the Holy Spirit of God to stop by that one's heart today and pull a little harder. For this may be the last chance they have to get on the right road and make things right with you. Whether by means of radio or CD or here in the congregation. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and your love. And that you could even use a fool like me. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, amen.